Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So I got to tell you, I'm sitting in an RV park in Whitefish, Montana. And I'm watching on my phone coverage from CCO TV and the amazing job that Mike Max did covering perhaps the most difficult story, the most troubling story of our lifetime here. With the protests and the riots, and I was just struck by how cool and calm Mike Max was, how deliberate he was, how he made people feel at ease, and it was a thing of wonder. And Mike Max, congratulations on being there and doing such an admirable job when the chips were down. How are you feeling?
First of all, I appreciate it very much, and you're way too kind, Paul, and I think we're all kind of decompressing. And I say that because there were so many people some that you know, Paul, that contributed to it. And first, you know, Carrie Patey, our news director, allowed me to do it, and she didn't have to. And Friday night, I asked her if I could. We had talked about it before that we could. I said I was willing to do, you know, some stuff, and she was the one that had to sign off on it, and she did. She supported me completely in it, and I'm very bullish on leadership and management. If it's good or it's not good, I watch it very, very closely, as we all do, to figure out who are the real deal managers and who are not, and she stood there by me and gave me that permission. And then to be out in the field with people like Will Raines and Sean Skinner, Tom Avilas when he wasn't arrested, and now we can laugh about it, and Chris Cruz, who was beaten, a guy took a cane to his camera, and so all those people had to have my back in this thing, and then you end up, as you know, Paul, we get way too much credit because we end up being the front person for some of this stuff. But it was just a fascinating study in humanity, and it's hard for maybe people to grasp this a little bit, but I thought there were a lot of winners in this. I thought that the demonstrators won because, aside from the looting and the stuff that went on earlier, the vast majority of the people that demonstrated and protested were well thought out, articulate, smart people that were protesting for the right reasons and for why we have this Constitution and why we love this country, that we're allowed to voice our opinion. And on the other side, I could not have been more proud as a Minnesotan to watch our law enforcement officials organize, especially after the third precinct went down, organize themselves, come up with a strategic plan, walk right up to the line, and never engage or allow anything to get out of hand. And to see that, both sides, to see that was just, if there are winners in something like this, and I know we got to rebuild and all that stuff, but there's a lot of the best of Minnesota that I saw in front of my eyes, in the form of both the demonstrators and the law enforcement officials. And it's such a fine line between the two. You know, both of them want the same thing. You know, they want to have opportunities and barbecue with their families on the weekend. And you know, they're not that much that separates the people in handcuffs versus the people that handcuffed them. And I was so impressed so many times by both sides. And, you know, P.J. Hill is one of the guys that's helping organize some of the marches. And I got to know him because he's a basketball player back in the day. And his sister, Taylor, is a WNBA player. And so I've known P.J. for a long time. And after the semi went down the 35W and all chaos broke loose, and I interviewed him, and it was a really emotional interview because he had just come off of there. Nobody really knew what was going on, but I was with him again yesterday, and he said, you know, he works for Wells Fargo as a financial planner, and he said after they saw that interview, some of his bosses reached out to him and said, what can we do for you? How can we help? And I thought, God, that's really a positive, you know, that comes out of this, where it's like they heard his side of the story. They maybe didn't even know that he was active in anything like this, and they didn't turn their back on him. Just the opposite. They said, you know, what can we do to help you? I saw things like that time and time again that they so impressed and overwhelmed me.
Well, Mike, look, you've interviewed thousands of pro athletes over the years. You're used to working without a net. I think anybody can read a teleprompter. I think it's much more tricky when you're out and things are breaking and you have to ad lib, right? And do the best you can. But I really thought you captured the zeitgeist of the time. You captured the raw emotion and I think you, again, did a masterful job of weaving together great storytelling. And it doesn't matter whether it's a news story, a weather story, a sports story. It's all about telling stories that touch people. And again, I'll stop with the compliments, but my hat is off to you for really doing a great job under enormous pressure. And at the end of the day, you're a human being. Was there anything that really touched you emotionally where you got choked up or where you had trouble just going on?
There were a few times when one was we were on Lake Street on Monday night after the bulk of it was over, but there was a 10 o'clock curfew and nobody knew how that was going to get enforced or go down. And we went out there to do a live shot, and we were on the corner of Lake and Bloomington. There was a man there. He had a Mexican. He was of Mexican descent, and he had a grocery store there. And he had started it 22 years ago, right there, same place. And it had been looted early on, the third day in. He had the videotape of it and everything. And so now he was there that night because he didn't know if there'd be enough police officers, and he had organized so that they could protect his store because nobody knew if there was going to be more violence. But to sit there with him, and he wouldn't go on camera with him, but with us, but to hear his story about, you know, this is his life, you know, this to him, this grocery store is that he is so thankful that he got to live the American dream. You know, this is the American dream to him. Everybody's got a different version of it, and that he's been able to sustain it and support his family with it. And now, you know, it was, or is at least in limbo that, you know, could somebody burn? He goes, I'll give them all. They can have everything they want in this grocery store, but please don't burn it down, you know, because these people, they don't even know if their insurance would cover it. And so that was the mindset that they had to go in that with. And he said, you know, we always talk about American dream stories, and most of them that I do are about athletes that grow up poor and end up rich, things like that. But here's a guy that's just, he was just so happy that he had a business that he could take care of his family with and pay the bills with. And that was, you know, this country meant something to him because for the same reasons that it means a lot to a lot of us. But it was just, for him, it was just subsistence and being able to provide for his family. And he thought that was, you know, one of the greatest gifts in the world that he could do that for his family. That was, that got me a little bit because it kind of redefined, you know, what we think of, as the American dream and the opportunities that we get. So there was another time, Paul, when, I don't know if choked up, but chilled certainly, was when, Friday night when they were the fifth precinct was now going to be defended, and everybody was asking, we don't see any law enforcement out here. Where's the law enforcement? And we were sitting by the fifth precinct wondering the same thing. And I turned and here came, I've said it before, the cavalry, because it was, everybody was lined up. The police officers, the state patrol, the National Guard, the sheriff's department with a Humvee behind them, and they were just walking silently to the precinct. And it was just so powerful. It was them saying, without saying a word, you're not taking our precinct tonight. You're not taking our precinct tonight. You're not taking our precinct tonight. And they walked in and they fortified it. And of course, they didn't take it. There was fires that night and whatnot. But it was so powerful to see all those people walking in together, putting themselves in harm's way. Nobody knew what they were walking into. And then up on the roof to see these guys, you know, manning a position with the smoke billowing around them because they'd burned down Wells Fargo and White Castle and some of that. And you could just see their silhouettes. It just, you were so, I said it before, but you were so proud as a Minnesotan to see our law enforcement step up to protect our state and everybody that was on the streets.
Oh, man. So many emotions right now. And
yes.
Mike, stick around. When we come back, I want to pivot, talk a little bit about Roger Goodell's true confession in the NFL. Looks like they've had a little bit of a change of heart when it comes to protesting racism on the part of NFL players. That, and are the Twins going to be playing? Looks like the NBA is starting up July 31st. There is some sports news. We'll get to that next. Paul Douglas, Saturday morning. Hey, if you have a second, click over to WCCO Radio and check out Minnesota Forward. Minnesota Forward. This is a place for Minnesotans to come together to unite, rebuild, gather, share, and support. Check it out. A lot of resources online. And as always, if you missed an interview on radio.com, use the rewind feature, which is pretty nifty, and you can hear what you missed with Mike Max. And I really appreciate his perspective and his voice keeping things together. Mike, what are your comments about Drew Brees and kind of what seemed to lead up to a change of heart for Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner, who now says the NFL was wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encouraging all to speak out and peacefully protest? I mean, I guess I wonder what Colin Kaepernick thinks of this.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting over the next couple years, really, to follow, you know, Colin Kaepernick's story and everything else. I think Goodell was right to come out and say that. And I think, you know, we talked a lot about TV in the last segment, but on my radio show, I have had on in the last couple weeks so many African-American athletes from this community. And I hope people have heard this. And it's not what they said, it's how they said it. These are guys that I have known for a long time, and I thought I knew the general profile on them. But what this brought out in them, and you can really hear it when you hear radio interviews, is the passion and maybe suppression that they felt their whole lives. And that, you know, telling stories about how you don't have the same fear that I do when you get pulled over. And it's, I can't think it was Ryan Harris was on. He said, it's not that you're not afraid you're going to get a ticket. It's that I'm afraid I'm going to go to jail. And to hear their passion, in their protests and everything else. And we've had, I don't know how many on the radio station. Last night we had George Blackwell on. He protested the MLK, went on to become a great executive here in town and retired, and to hear his perspective on the two different. And that's something I think probably Roger Goodell heard too. But it's not, it's listening to these guys, and it's not, like I said, just what they say. It's just you can hear in their voices, Tony Sana and Robert Mestis last night. And I don't know how many people I've had on the radio in the last week and a half. But you just hear what they're saying, and you feel it maybe a different way than you have in the past. And you say, okay, we got to listen to this a little bit more, because I honestly didn't know these people that I knew so well, what great passion they had underneath it all. And I think that's what probably resonated with Roger Goodell as well.
Most important thing we can do is listen, especially white Americans. We less talking and more listening. give us an update on the NBA starting up from Disney World, which again seems a little surreal, on July 31st without the Timberwolves, right?
Yeah, Timberwolves did not make the cut. They, you know, and really for all practical purposes, if you're just going to go to a playoffs, not all these teams have to be there. And so the Timberwolves had no chance of winning anything. So, you know, maybe they can continue to practice. Maybe they'll get something so that all these newcomers that they have can continue to play. But you do have to draw the line somewhere. Or it just becomes too difficult to put the whole thing together. And there's no reason to allow all the teams in for the NHL or the NBA because, right. You know, some of them didn't earn their way in and they really don't have a chance. But you're really just trying to give people basketball or hockey or whatever it is. And let's be honest, they're also trying to make some revenue off of this and get some of that TV rights money flowing back in. But I do think that in the worst case scenario, they've come up with the best scenario plan that you can right now.
Speaking of that sweet TV rights money, Major League Baseball, now what we're talking about, maybe 50 games or fewer. Do you think it's going to happen?
Well, I don't know if this will have a long-term effect, but owners have put out an offer. And you can, if you want to debate whether it's reasonable or blah, 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 this is a different year. And I think Major League Baseball players have the most to lose right now, particularly with the NBA and the NHL coming back, because they too are playing with their safety and whatever else, you know, social distancing, all these things. And if they're willing to come back and Major League Baseball is not, I think that is a real potential black eye on the players. If the owners have come up with a proposal, because this one can't be about money, boys. You're still going to get paid plenty. And it's also about a social conscience and trying to, you know, help all of us in the healing, and all those people that work in your organization that are trying to keep their jobs, they need games being played just so they can keep their jobs. And so I just think Major League Baseball players need to look hard inside in their soul, because if they keep rejecting these offers, I just think that really speaks to it could brand them as greedy and everything else. And then next year you still don't have a plan in place. If it's not a safety issue and they can play and they don't, boy, I just think right now, given the state of this country, that is a really bad message to send.
There hasn't been a season with fewer than 82 games since 1879. So
yeah,
be interesting to see how that rolls out. Mike, last question. Have you been able to take a nap at all in the last week?
Not even close.
More coffee.
Yeah, lucky. I got a lot of good coffee, and that gets me through. But every once in a while in your life, everybody knows this, you just can run on adrenaline for a while. And you know you're going to crash at some point in time, but you just got to kind of ride it out. And by the way, I appreciate all your kind texts too throughout. Those friendships that you have with those people that have your personal phone number, they don't mean a little bit. They mean everything to you.
Well, when you got hit by that tear gas canister, that's heavy duty stuff, and I am worried about you. I know you're on the front line, and look, I think I speak for listeners when I say thank you for your professionalism, your authenticity, and your humanity. We'll keep watching and we'll keep listening. Right here on CCO. Thanks, Maxie.
Thanks for your friendship, Paul. Appreciate it.
You bet. Hang in there, buddy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.